Well, praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It was a little work getting here tonight. We had some snow, and for those of you who are listening online, you might not know this, but we had several inches of snow today, and it was a bit of work getting here. In fact, I had to pick up Mom and give her a ride, and I also had to pick up my sisters and give them a ride, but praise God, we are here. And you know, when it snows like that, you can think about how inconvenient it is, you can whine and you can complain about it, but you know what? That snow is still going to be there. It doesn't change anything, does it? Praise God, and I am thankful that He has allowed us to gather here once again. You just never know how many more opportunities you're going to have to be here. So we're going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer tonight, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee for bringing us here safely, thanking Thee, O God, for Thy precious promises. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would flow. I pray, O God, that Thou would inspire us to draw nigh to Thee, to worship Thee with a true heart, to serve Thee faithfully, to give Thee the worship and the praise that Thou art worthy of. And I pray, O God, that everything we do here tonight will be done according to Thy perfect will and Thy perfect plan. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 141 in the chorus book tonight. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Number 141. And sing, He is my everything. Number 106 in the chorus book. He is my everything. He is I'm Yes, He is our everything. Let's go to number 85 and sing, "Give Me Oil in My Lamp," number 85. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we need that oil of the Holy Ghost. We don't want our lamps to run out because Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready for that. And I tell you what, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Jesus. And, you know, I feel like singing about that tonight. Let's go to the hymnal now and turn to number 93 and sing, "Oh, I Want to See Him," number 93 in the hymnal. I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the curtain flow. Many arrows pierce my soul, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever. For my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever. Let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me Let's go to number 173 and sing When We All Get to Heaven, number 173.
We all say Jesus.
God. Well, these songs just keep coming to me tonight. Let's go to number 195 and sing We Shall See the King. Number 195. Time that's coming soon. It may be easy morning or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the king when he comes. We shall see the king. We shall see the king. We shall see the king when he comes. Call today. Would Jesus say, well done or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the king when he comes. We shall see the king. We shall see the king. We shall see the king when he comes. Hail the blessed hour. We shall see the king when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior king and Lord? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the king when he comes. We shall see the king. We shall see the king. We shall see the king when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the king when he comes. We shall see the king. We shall see the king. We shall see the king when he comes. We shall see the king when he comes. Praise the Lord. It is wonderful to sing and praise and worship God, and I so look forward to that day when he does return. And you know, it could be a lot closer than most people think. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're going to get started with the Bible study momentarily, but we do have a few things we should pray about. I know Barb isn't feeling well. She may have caught one of those colds or flus or whatever it is that's going around, so we're going to pray for her. And I did get a text from Rob yesterday. He said that Tori is feeling somewhat better, but we'll keep praying for her for a complete healing of that horrible pain she's been having in her back. And we should pray for Gordon as well again. And we're hoping that we can get over there to see him very soon. The weather hasn't been cooperative lately, and we've had some other things we had to attend to here, but we are hoping to get over to see Gordon. But we're going to pray for all of these things right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight on behalf of Barb, praying, O God, that thou wouldst reach down from heaven, praying, O God, that thou wouldst touch her, praying, O God, that thou would heal her of this illness, whatever it is, whether it be a cold or a flu or whatever it might be, for we know, O God, that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God. We know that nothing is too hard for thee, and we pray, O God, that thou wouldst touch her now. Let her feel these prayers as they go up to thee. I pray, O God, that she would feel thy touch, and I pray that she would feel it now, even now, as we pray. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray once again for Tori. And we pray, O God, that thou would completely heal her of any pain that she's had in her back. I pray, O God, that it would be completely gone. I pray that she would be completely restored Heal her, O God, for thou art our healer, thou art our deliverer, thou art our mighty Savior. And we just ask, O God, that thou wast touch Tori and heal her completely. And I pray, O God, that thou wast also guide her as she searches for new employment. I pray that you would lead her path and show her what she should do. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray once again on behalf of Gordon, praying, O God, that thou would speak to his soul and comfort his soul. I pray, O God, that he would feel thy presence, that he would feel thy touch. And Lord, we don't know what all will happen. We don't know if it is his time to leave this world, but whatever thy will is, if that be thy will, we pray, O God, that thou would make him ready to see thy face. And if not, if thou would give him more time, we pray for complete healing and restoration. For we know that nothing is too hard for thee. We know that doctors are not always right. We know that thou art our great physician and that thou hast the final say each and every time. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we get started in the Word tonight. And I think the chorus I'm thinking of is number 131, but I'm just going to double check that. Yep, number 131 in the chorus book. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. To that day. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have had quite a winter here. You know, we had really mild weather a few days ago, and that was kind of unusual for us. But now we're back to winter. But yet we know that God is here with us, and you know, it's just good to know that it's all in His hands. And, you know, if He brings the snow, it's good. The snow's beautiful when it falls from the heavens, you know, that beautiful white, newly fallen snow. And, you know, it just all is a part of His creation, that His wisdom, the wonderful wisdom that our Father has. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about the cry of wisdom here tonight, the cry of wisdom that goes forth, and God who does all things well. We can just put our hope, our trust, our hearts with Him. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again, Lord, that we have this privilege, Lord, of coming before You, Lord. We just thank You, Lord, that You do all things well, Lord. And oh God, we have such a hope in our earthen vessels, Lord, that hope of seeing You, Lord, and being with You, Lord, and knowing, Lord, that these things, oh Lord, of this earth are temporary, Lord. Oh God, we're here just for a little season, God. Oh God, we're here to do Your will and to learn of You, God. And oh God, to put our minds upon Thee, Lord God. And oh God, to get our hearts right. I pray, oh God, that You deal with us tonight, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You work in us, Lord. Oh God, that You show us the things that we need to see, Lord. You help us to get ready, Lord, for we don't know the day or the hour of Your coming, Lord. But we can feel that it's even at the door, Lord, that Thy coming is soon, Lord. We just thank You, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity You've given us here tonight, Lord. This, oh God, these moments, oh Lord, that we can gather here. We can open up Thy Word, and oh God, we can meditate on the good things of God, Lord. And I pray that You'd talk to our hearts. Help us, Lord. Move in us, Lord. Change us, oh God, and get us ready, Lord, to see You, Lord. Put it within us, I ask. I pray, O Lord, if there be some, Lord, that have not yet given their heart to You, Lord, I pray, O Lord, this night, O Lord, that You would call them to repentance. O God, I pray that Your still small voice would speak to their souls, Lord God, and O God, that You'd bind the strong man and every interfering spirit, every devil, Lord, everything, O Lord, that would come to oppose and to hinder, Lord. We come against it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And I pray, O God, that You'd have faith to rise in our hearts, Lord Jesus. O God, that we'd put down the old man, Lord, and the new man would rise, O God. O Lord, the spirit that You put within us, O God, would rise within us, Lord Jesus, O God. That You'd move here tonight, Lord. Oh God, that You'd move in this place, oh Lord. And oh God, across the airwaves, Lord. Oh God, that You would do a work, oh Lord. For we just give everything to You and ask, oh Lord, that You'd be here in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The cry of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, there's a cry that goes forth even in this world that we live in today. See, oh, what has happened in the process of time. Often, you know, it seems like we see hearts that are hardened, oh, that don't seem to fear God and, you know, even despise God. And you're walking in a completely contrary way to that which is written in the Word of God. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing that He has talked to our hearts as individuals. That personal Savior, you know, He doesn't, you know, put it upon, you know, our parents' hearts necessarily. You know, we might not be, you know, anybody that we know, but God calls us as individuals, you know, to come and serve Him. You know, though we be few and far between, you know, God knows how to make Himself known to us. And it's a beautiful thing, you know. I know it's a wonderful thing to see family members all come together and gather, but that's not always the case because, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, it's just one of a city, or, you know, two of a family, you know, that God chooses and calls. But, you know, we are privileged to know the Lord, because so many are walking in darkness and don't know the path that God would have them to walk in at all. Go contrary. Oh my. Do so many things that displease Him, even abominable things. But praise the Lord. The Lord takes our lives and begins to talk to our hearts and begins to change us, puts His Spirit within us, so that we can know Him, so that we can be drawn to Him, so that we can fear Him. Oh yes, and that we can live for Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Proverbs, the third chapter here tonight, and just go through a portion of this chapter. Again, we're going to call it the cry of wisdom. The cry of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Verse 1, Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I just want us to know what, you know, this word is being spoken, and you know, you notice there's an emphasis. It's God's law, it's His law, it's His ways, it's His commandments. And there's a benefit to it. It says, forget them not, if you have them in your heart, His law, His commandments. It's for length of days and long life and peace. All these wonderful characteristics, all these attributes, these promises that are attached to those that keep the law of God and that keep His commandments. And you know, I'm so thankful in this latter day in which we live that God, when He fills us with the Holy Ghost, He writes those laws on the tables of our hearts. Oh yes, so that we can know the way, so that we can be led by our Heavenly Father, and we don't have to wander around, you know, and you know, not knowing where we're going or not knowing how to live, because He instructs us. And besides, He's given us His Word, and His Word, the Scripture, they are words of life, and how precious it is that we have them. Then in verse 3 it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And of course it talks about two precious attributes here. Mercy and truth. And you know, without God's mercy, there would be no hope for any of us. He called us in spite of our unworthiness, you know, the lack of things that we could ever do to obtain it. But yet, God had mercy on us. He showed us favor. He overlooked all the things that were against us and opposed us, the things that brought damnation upon our lives. He looked beyond that, and he showed mercy. Oh, yes, he gave us mercy so that we might come to Him and believe and trust in Him. Oh yes, and because He has shown us mercy, we are to show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then it talks about truth. All these two important things that we're supposed to treasure tremendously. Truth. We are to buy the truth, it tells us in Proverbs 23, verse 23. We're to buy the truth and sell it not. It is something of great virtue. It is something of good, a great price, the truth. And you know, it's so important. It's going to be that many will perish, as it tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because they received not the love of the truth. And instead, they're given over to a lie because it wasn't deep within them. They didn't regard God's word as truth. And they didn't esteem it, and they didn't value it, and you know, they maybe took portions of it and embraced it and, you know, rejected the rest of it. But we need to take the whole counsel of God. Oh, yes, the truth that God has recorded, oh, for our benefit and for our blessing, so that we might know his precepts and work toward that end. Oh, what a wonderful thing. He's put that within us. So we are to take mercy and truth and not to forsake them. We're to bind them about our neck as something that we treasure, that we will not let go of. We're to write them upon the table of our hearts. And there's a blessing with that too. It says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. It says, in the sight of God and man. There's something deep about this. If we can just do the little simple things that God has asked us to do, there's blessings, there's tremendous things that come forth because we find favor with God and with man when we do the things that please the Lord. And then, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And the next verse, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And here we have some tremendous advice. Oh, yes, the need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. To put our confidence, our hope in God. You know, it's just so common for man to put his trust in his own understanding, or maybe his trust in that of a physician or a counselor or a teacher or somebody, you know, here on earth, maybe parents and all of that. And you know, we can benefit from the counsel of other, especially godly people. But oh my, the first need is to have that trust in the Lord. And it says with that, with all our hearts, with, you know, giving it all that we can. It's, you know, we're putting it all into our faith into God. And it says not to lean upon our own understanding. Oh, our own understanding can get us into such trouble. You know, just using common sense at times is not the way of God. This man's advice can be completely contrary to God. It's not according to God's word and God's directive. And so often that's a mistake people make. They trust in their own counsel and their own ways. But it isn't. It isn't wise. It isn't wise. It tells us also, in all thy ways to acknowledge him. Oh, yes. To give him the praise and the glory, the appreciation, to acknowledge that it's because of him that we live and move and have our being. Oh, yes, we're here because of him. There's a plan, there's a purpose, and it's all because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So in our all our ways, we're to acknowledge him and to put our trust, our hope, our expectations in him. And then it tells us, if we do this, he shall direct our path. He shall make it known. He shall tell us the things that he wants us to know. He gives us the wisdom that we need to go forward in the path that we are to pursue. We could hear, oh yes, that still small voice as he speaks to our soul. And, you know, that Holy Ghost that talks to us and, oh, says, this is the way, walk in it. And you go to the right hand, and when you go to the left, oh yes, we have ourself, our contrary. We wander off, we do this, we do that. Our ways are contrary to the ways of God. Oh yes, as he said in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, and neither are your thoughts my thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. And so it is. We can esteem the value of putting our trust in the Lord. Oh, yes, that is wisdom. That is good. Oh, yes, that is wise, because He knows the end from the beginning. Our Heavenly Father knows all things, and He knows how to lead us and how to guide us and how to get us home. Oh, yes, how one day we can see His face and hear Him say, "Well done." But it's not going to be according to our own devices. It's not going to be according to our own methods. It's not going to be, you know, a textbook sort of thing according to, you know, the studies of, oh, the so-called brilliant men of this world. But it's according to the truths that are written in this book of life that He's given us. Oh, yes. You know, from the Psalms, you know, He tells us that some trust in chariots and some in horses. But our trust needs to be in the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's where it all is. Where everything else is going to fall, it's going to vanish. All the things that men esteem here on this earth are but for a moment. Oh, yes, I was listening to the president's speech last night, and, you know, he said a lot of good things, and he brought forth a lot of hope, it seems, and, you know, he had a hopeful tone about everything else, so you could see it's a very divided house. And, you know, he gave credit to some of the individuals that were sitting among them, and, you know, that was nice, but I thought, you know, man's glory is just for a second. You know, those moments come and they go. You know, there might be applause, you know, for half an hour. But, you know, that's just for that time. It's just for that moment. And then it's back to the, you know, the next thing. And beyond it, those moments are soon forgotten and they vanish. They disappear. But praise the Lord, there are things that are eternal. And those things, oh, that we do for the Lord, those are things that will last for all eternity. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be able to put our treasures in heaven, a place where moths and rust do not break through and steal and corrupt and, you know, destroy and hinder all these other things that come about. Oh, yes. To destroy our garments or, you know, our treasures, so-called, on earth. You know, you could have a very valuable thing, but if it gets all rusty, it's our job to restore it back. You might never get it back. It's not very valuable in the state of rust. And so it is. The things of this world are just temporal. But praise the Lord, there's something deeper than that, and we can put our trust in God. Yes, and we don't have to take counsel of the soothsayers and of the astrologers and the psychiatrists and all those sort of people, but we can put our trust in God. In fact, it says, if we turn to Isaiah, the 30th chapter, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and the cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Oh, there's so many like that. Oh, that just trust in their own devices, in their own ways. They take counsel of some other but God. And here in Isaiah 30, they're called rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me. Oh, yes, you know, we need to ask counsel of the Lord. You know, if there's something we need to pursue or we feel like we want to pursue, we better ask God. He might have a completely different notion. He might have a completely different plan. And, you know, if we pursue our own way of thinking, we may fall flat. And so many people do that. They don't inquire of the Lord. They don't go to the Lord. They don't seek Him first. And often that brings great trouble. And then it talks about those that cover with a covering. Oh, so many try to have some kind of cloak to cover, oh, their waywardness, their sin, and the things that aren't right in their lives. Oh, yes, that they may add sin to sin. Oh, yes, I know. Just thinking of some portions of Scripture in the book of John here. That third chapter, Jesus said in verse 19, "And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And he says in verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Oh yes, if a person is living in a sinful state and does not fear the Lord and wants to do his own thing, her own thing, his own ways, her own ways, then oh my, it's because they love darkness rather than light. Oh, Jesus came into this world to reprove the world of darkness. Oh, yes, it tells us also in the 15th chapter of John. It talks about how in verse 22 it says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin, because the light had come into the world." Jesus Christ came into the world as the light. And so their sin was made clear. It was made manifest. And so now there's no hiding. There's no cloak for their sin. They can't cover it up, because Jesus Christ has come. He came to reveal what was truth, what was the light, so that we wouldn't have to walk in the darkness. We wouldn't have to grope as a blind man, but instead we could come to the light. Oh yes, that light reveals to us our sins. It makes it manifest those things that are not right with God. But praise the Lord for that, because if those sins are revealed, if they're made known to us, then we can repent and we can return to the Lord and be forgiven. Oh yes, so he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest or revealed, that they are wrought in God. And praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when we give our lives to the Lord. You know, he takes all those, that old ugly garment of sin that we've been wearing for years and years. He takes it, oh yes, and he gives us a new garment. His garment, his righteousness. Oh yes, so that one day we can stand before God and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Oh, thank the Lord for that. Oh, we would have no hope without God. But the Lord came to bring us hope. Oh yes. And it's woe to them that go down to Egypt. Oh yes. That tried to cover up their sins. Oh yes, and to put on some kind of covering of their own, but not of his Spirit. Oh, it's not going to work, is it? But then they add sin to sin, just keep sinning and sinning, pretending, oh, that nobody's going to see it, and that nobody cares. But I'll tell you what, God sees it. Oh, there is nothing hidden from God, and he knows it all. Oh, yes, and woe be to them that go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. Oh, they didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. And then the thought is to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Oh, yes. Oh, to think, oh, he's got armies, he's got men, he's got money, monetary values, you know. Why, there's, you know, even those that we can trust in the shadow of there, maybe, you know, soothsayers or, you know, astrologers that, you know, that could direct our path. So we would, you know, think of ourselves perhaps. But it says, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusing. Oh, yes, it's all going to come down. Oh, yes, all going to come to naught. And very similarly, in the 31st chapter of Isaiah, again, it says in the first verse, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Oh, woe be to them, it tells us. Woe be to them. We can't trust in chariots and horses. Oh, you know, we can't trust in the treasures of this world. You know, we can't, you know, think because they are many. Oh, then there's great victory. No, the Lord doesn't look at things that way anyway. He looked at his people, Israel, and, you know, he didn't call them out of Egypt because they were a multitude, a great important multitude. In fact, they were the fewest of the few, those that he initially called. And so it is. God doesn't look unto numbers. He does. He can save by the few. He doesn't need a great army. But he's looking for a people that walk in truth, that embrace his word, that have faith, and that go forward, oh yes, to do his will and live according to his ways. And so it tells us back in Proverbs here, oh yes, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And it tells us not to be wise in our own eyes, but rather fear the Lord and depart from evil. Oh yes, there's wisdom in that, to fear the Lord. We know clearly that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, yes, a good understanding of all they that keep his commandments. Oh, yes, if you want wisdom, the first step is to fear the Lord. Oh, yes, and to seek him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, to acknowledge him. It tells us also in Proverbs, the first chapter, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. And I'll tell you what, that foolishness, oh boy, it just, they go forward and do foolish things. There's no wisdom or counsel or understanding in those that do not fear the Lord. Oh yes, it all comes to naught. So we are not to be wise in our own eyes, but rather fear the Lord and depart from evil. Again, the blessings that come forth. It tells us in verse 8 here in Proverbs 3, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Oh, praise the Lord. He gives us strength. He gives us health when our deeds, our walk in life is wrought in Christ. Oh, yes. He knows how to help our physical being too, because our hope, our trust is in the Lord, and we fear God, and we have departed from evil. Then verse 9 tells us to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Oh, I'll tell you what, sometimes there's people that are selfish and stingy. I'll tell you what, if that's the way you are, you know, that's how you're going to be repaid. Just looking here for a moment in Luke, I believe it's the 6th chapter and verse 38, it tells us, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Very telling here. If we have a generous spirit and we give, you know, Jesus acknowledged the widow who gave two mites, knowing that that was all of her substance, knowing that she was giving of her poverty. And yet he looked at those rich men who looked like they were, you know, making big ado over what they were putting into the basket there. And maybe it's making a great clunk as it hit the bottom and all. But he was looking at that as nothing. They were just giving a little bit out of all their abundance. But God looks on the heart and he knows, oh, if it's given from a genuine spirit or if it's just given to be seen of men. And I know so often, you know, in local papers you often see, you know, individuals, maybe doctors, lawyers, businessmen, businesswomen, all different kind of people. Maybe, you know, you'll see them maybe passing on some kind of check of charity or something, you know. They'll have a picture taken, you know. They'll stand there, you know, with the check, I guess, between the two or whatever, and being acknowledged for what they've given. But what good is it if it's just being done to be seen a man for a show, you know, that kind of attempt? No, the Lord looks on the heart and he knows when we're given, you know, because there's a genuine concern and there's a love and there's something that we want to do to help somebody. And here it says, again, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure. And, you know, a good measure on a scale when they used to pile it on the scale, you know, piling it high, putting a lot on there, and then pressing it down, and then shaking together. Oh, we're going to get a lot on this scoop, and running over even. Oh, that's Jesus' words, as he said, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Oh, yes, the Lord expects us to honor the Lord with our substance. You know, I think the other week, I believe we went to Genesis, the 28th chapter, talked a little bit about Jacob, as he met God there at Bethel. And I know after it was over, you know, after he had met God and he saw that beautiful vision, that wonderful vision, that ladder that was, oh, on the earth and going into the heavens, and the angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. He knew that, oh, the Lord was in that place. God spoke to him and introduced himself to Jacob at that moment. But Jacob at that point, when he realized that God had promised to be with him and to go with him and to bring him back. And Jacob made a promise at that time. He said that he would surely give to God the tenth, that God would go with him and bring him back. He would surely give to God the tenth. I believe he did that. God did go with Jacob and God did bring him back. There's a lot to learn from all those lessons, all those things that were gleaned. But we are told to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And of course, Malachi talks about giving the tithe. In the third chapter of Malachi, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? The answer is in tithes and offerings. It says, ye are cursed with a curse, For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I don't think we want to rob God. But the tenth belongs to God, the first fruits. And then verse 10 here in Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, it so happens that when we get to God, He gives it back. He gives it back abundantly. You know, it's our cup overflows because God is generous. He sees us giving with a cheerful heart, with a willing spirit. There's a blessing on that. And He knows how to return that blessing to us. And praise the Lord, it's told us here in Proverbs, as we read in verse 9, honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It's talking about blessings because we've given the Lord the first fruits of our substances, our increase. Then it continues here in the third chapter of Proverbs, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Of course, we know that Paul in Hebrews the 12th chapter spoke largely of this, and you know, some of the same words, to not to despise the chastity of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. There, the 12th chapter of Hebrews, because it says in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But it says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So it's to be expected. And you know, there's a reason behind it. It says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. It says, now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Oh yes, the blessings that comes forth if we will receive it from the Lord and realize that if he corrects us, it's for our own benefit, so that we could truly be his sons and his daughters, so that one day we could stand before him with his righteousness. Oh yes, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Yes, now he's talking about wisdom. And he's talking about something that's very beneficial. He says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For with wisdom cometh understanding. And it tells us how precious it is in that 14th verse. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. In other words, the finding of wisdom and the getting of understanding is much more valuable than earthly treasures, much more to be esteemed than the things of this world that men and women go after. It says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Look at all these attributes that come forth because of godly wisdom, wisdom that comes from God. And it says in verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Oh, I tell you, the wisdom of God and his creation, all the things that he put forth, oh, there is no wisdom like the wisdom of our God that could find this earth. He founded it, oh, by his wisdom. His understanding established it. He put it together. He put it in order. He spoke it into existence. And we know, oh, everything works according to that which he spoke forth. It was his knowledge, it tells us in verse 20, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. The wonderful order that he put in his creation. Oh, yes. You know, I just marvel sometimes when I think about the water cycle and, you know, think, you know, how it is, you know, that same water is used again and again. You know, it collects in those bodies of water and the seas and the rivers and the lakes, the oceans. It collects there, but it evaporates back into the air, and you know, as it evaporates, oh, begins to condense and form clouds. And eventually that same water falls down as precipitation upon the earth. And that's God in his wisdom, the same water again and again and again. Talk about recycling. Oh, there's the Lord in his wisdom, in his understanding, by his knowledge, how he created that. I think we better fear him, you know, because there are times he has kept back those clouds. Oh, yes, there are times of famines because man did not fear the Lord and esteem God. And God had to get his attention one way or the other, so he held back those clouds. But praise the Lord. The Lord sends the rain and the snow to water the earth. Oh, yes, that there may be seed to the sower and bread for the eater. You know, those good things that he provides for his people. And we thank God for his wisdom, his knowledge, the things that he hath founded and put together for our benefit and our blessing. So it tells us here in the 21st verse here in Proverbs 3, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Oh, yes, we could just esteem the wisdom of the Lord, the ways of the Lord. If we could just keep them, his sound wisdom, his discretion that he puts within his people. Oh, yes. They shall be life unto thy soul. Oh, they keep us from the evil. They give us understanding. They put that fear of God within us so that we'll have sense enough to abstain from evil, to depart from ways of sin, to commit our ways to the Lord. And it says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Oh, praise the Lord, the promises of God, when things are in order. Oh, yes, when we have that peace that comes from God, because we fear Him. We keep His commandments. We walk in His ways. He gives us wisdom that comes from Him and understanding and discretion so that, oh yes, we can find His favor and those blessings come upon our lives. He tells us in verse 25, be not afraid of some fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Oh, these are wonderful promises for us here today. You know, we're living in that time. We can see the signs. You know, we don't know the day or the hour precisely when our Lord is going to return. But we can't see evidence of hardened hearts and people that have gone astray and all their devices that they're putting into this world, the things that they are attempting to do. And the armies that they even are thinking that they might put together to come against the Lord. All these things that are in the making. You know, that time of the desolation of the wicked draws nigh. But it tells us here we don't have to be afraid of it. No, not if the Lord is our confidence. It says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to rest upon. Oh, yes, to know that even if it is the end of the world, that Jesus said He would never leave us nor forsake us, that He would be with us even to the end of the world. And oh, yes, that sudden fear falls upon this world. We don't have to be taken up in that snare. We don't have to fall in that condemnation. For the Lord shall be our confidence and shall keep our feet from being taken. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But there is a cry that comes with wisdom. And if we look now at the first chapter of Proverbs, verse 20, we're going to talk about that cry. Oh yes, the Lord has promised to give His people wisdom. But there is a cry that goeth forth. And it tells us in verse 20, Proverbs the first chapter, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. There's a cry that goes forth. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Oh, there's a voice that cries out. I think of how it was several years ago, one of those trips to New York City, and there at Grand Central Station, there in Manhattan. Oh yes, all the activity that goes on in that train station. But yet, I just remember it, how there was this woman standing there with the Bible open, preaching to the people. Oh, it was so precious to see her just standing there, not fearing what other people might think. But crying out, there was a voice crying out. I think how it was, how we heard that there was these evangelists in New Orleans before Katrina hit those years earlier. Oh yes, before Katrina hit, there was a voice crying out, walking the streets, crying out, telling the people to repent. Oh, I think how it is. That need for that voice, oh, that cry that goes forth, because there is a need, there's a wisdom that's crying out, that's uttering her voice in the streets, oh, that's crying out. Pass out tracts, maybe go to the big cities and or even the small cities, maybe door to door, maybe to that vendor there on the streets, or maybe that clerk at the store, or those people walking the aisles. Oh, that voice of wisdom that crieth out in the chief places of concourse, places that are heavily traveled. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her voice, her words, saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Oh, I'll tell you what, you simple ones, ones that are ignoring the most important thing in this world, the scorners that mock at the word of God, that despise it, the fools that have ignored the counsel of God and hate his knowledge. Oh, how long, how long, that voice cries out, wisdom cries out, "How long, ye simple ones, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, status quo? Oh, just letting life be, not thinking about the things that really matter, not giving heed to the word of God, not turning from sin. Oh, you scorners, how long are you going to delight in your scorning? Oh, you fools that hate knowledge, how long?" Oh, it says in verse 23, "Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Oh, how precious it is when there's a life that will stand still and see. When there's an individual that will listen to the voice of wisdom that cries out, oh, that instinctive thing deep down inside that cries out, "Hey, you're not right with God. You're a sinner. You need to repent. There's things in your life. You're going to go to hell. You're not right." Oh, that voice that cries out. If people would just listen. Well, it tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Oh, it's a beautiful thing when a heart can turn to God instead of trying to cover it with, you know, cover one's life with their own cloak, with their own wayward ways, with their rebellious spirits. Oh, I'll tell you what, it says, person shall not prosper. But praise the Lord, oh, that voice of wisdom that cries out, "Turn ye at my reproof. Turn. Turn from your sins. Turn from your evil ways. Repent. Get right with God." That voice like John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. Oh, yes. To prepare the heart to get right with God. To turn from evil. That voice that cries out, oh, even in this end period, oh, yes, that cry that goes forth. Oh, yes, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord takes us as we are, as despicable and unworthy. Oh, yes, he takes us in our ignorance. Oh, when we will turn from our simplicity, our ignorance, to the Almighty God and bend the knee and say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, God, I want to get right. Oh, Lord, I want to see you one day. I want to be right with you, Lord." Oh, that cry, oh, that need to turn. And here it is, oh, turn ye at my reproof. Just go ahead and do it, and I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Oh, yes, the promises of God. Oh, Jesus, as he was crying forth. Oh, yes, as he came to this world. Oh, yes, to seek and to save those that were lost, to bring hope to this dying world. For we all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, we all needed a Savior. We were all without hope. We all had the sins that covered us. But Jesus came. Oh, yes. To bring back, to restore that which the enemy had stolen and taken from us. Advantages the devil had taken from us. The deceit that he had, oh yes, deceived the world with. And us also as individuals. But Jesus came forth that we might have life. And that we might have it more abundantly. Oh yes. That thief that comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life, everlasting life, and that more abundantly. And Jesus, oh, he cried in the 14th chapter of John, and we go here so often, that he was going to come and make his abode with us. Oh, yes, he had a plan. He told us in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, yes, there's a fear of God deep within. Oh, there's a cry for wisdom. Man loves the word of God. It speaks to the heart. Then we keep his words. And Jesus Christ, oh yes, has promised that he would make his abode with us. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, that peace that passes all understanding. That promise that he would send forth the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. That promise, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you, the things that we need to know, the words of eternal life, the wisdom that will bring us to that place that we need to be with God. Oh, yes, as it says here in Proverbs, the first chapter, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Praise the Lord, it happened, didn't it? The day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, that Holy Ghost came down. It fell upon that 120 people approximately who were in that upper room waiting for the promise of the Father. Oh, yes. He came upon them. Oh, yes, he poured out of his spirit, and they spake with tongues and magnified the Lord. Oh, yes, it came forth there. They were changed. They were different, yes, because the Comforter had come. The Comforter, oh, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ came forth. Oh, yes, to be in us as individuals, to put his Spirit in us so that we might walk in his ways. Be filled with his wisdom and his counsel and have his understanding. All those things that, oh, he has desired for his people. All that pouring out of his spirit. All that he would make his words known unto us. Oh, yes, that still small voice that speaks to our soul. Oh, what a wonderful gift we have been given. I'll tell you what, there are some that don't fear, that do not give heed. Oh, as wisdom crieth out, oh, in the streets. Oh, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Oh, how long, ye scorners, will you delight in your scorning? Oh, how long, you fools, will you hate knowledge? How long? Oh, it says in verse 24, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Oh, that's a sad state. our Heavenly Father who loved us so much that he put on flesh to come to this world that we might have hope. Oh, yes, that we might walk with God, that all that which was taken away from us when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, oh, yes, that fellowship that they had with God, oh, Jesus came back to restore it so that we might walk with him again, that we might know him, that we might have fellowship with him, that we might live with him, that we might be his sons and his daughters. Oh yes, that call goes forth, that cry, he calls. And it's sad, oh, when ye have refused, I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded all that mercy that was coming forth, that mercy that Jesus showed for us that we didn't deserve, that we couldn't merit, no matter how hard we tried. It says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. That day is coming, oh, that day of finality, that day of judgment, that day when it is over, that day when it's too late to make amends and get right with God. It says, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. All these things are the chastisement of the Lord. And, you know, the knowledge, the counsel, the fear of the Lord. All these things that God had chosen. Yet they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But praise the Lord, there are people that do see and understand. There are people that do fear the Lord and that do hearken to that voice, that cry that goes forth in the streets, in the concourses, in the gates. It says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Oh, praise the Lord. God has promised to be with his people. The promises of God that are yea and amen. Oh, yes. How very precious they are. How very precious they are. But here we are. We've given this opportunity. Our life is but a vapor. It's short. You know, it comes and it goes. You know, it doesn't take all that long to realize how the years have gone by. And how sad it would be to get down to those final hours of one's life and realize, hey, it's all been in vain. I haven't done anything worthwhile. I don't have anything to show for my life. I haven't given my heart to the Lord. Oh, I haven't feared the Lord. I haven't walked in wisdom. I haven't heeded that cry. Oh, how very sad. How very sad that some, and many even, would reject the counsel of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, that cry of wisdom that cries in the street. That cry is to repent, to turn from one's evil ways. That's the cry of wisdom, to get right with God. That's what he would have us to do. If you have wisdom, you fear God and keep his commandments and walk in his ways and acknowledge him. That's what the fear of God is. Oh, that's what real wisdom is. It's turning from one's waywardness, one's rebellion, seeing life for what it is without God, and turning to God. Oh, that moment is coming. As I get ready to close here, I'm going to go to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, if you'd like to go there with me. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, that New Jerusalem, that city that's coming down out of heaven. Oh, from God, that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, yes, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, praise the Lord. There's the offer, the one that came to give us life and life more abundantly. Oh, yes, the one that laid down his life for his sheep. Oh, yes, that we might have the blessings that he has prepared for them that love him. We might live and reign with him as kings and priests unto God. Oh, yes, that Spirit, there's that call that comes forth, that cry of wisdom, that cry that comes forth. Oh, yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory, the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. But there's a cry that comes forth. A cry from the throne, a cry from the voice of God. Oh, a bidding, a pleading as he cries to us, the Spirit and the bride say, come, come, ye that thirst. Come, ye that would have eternal life. And let him that heareth, oh, let there be a response. Say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, the gift of eternal life, that beautiful gift that Jesus has so freely given us. That gift of the Holy Ghost, that Comforter, that Spirit of the living God that he sent back that we might have that water of life springing up within us as a well of living water. Oh, you know, we drink of the natural water and we thirst, don't we? It satisfies for a moment, but you know, an hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later, we need to drink again. But Jesus came to bring us living water. Oh, yes, so that we could drink of that well, that deep well deep within, that well that knows no limit, that well that goes deeper, 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 Oh, yes, that well of life, everlasting life, that Jesus so freely offers to his people, his children. Oh, that we might be partakers of his salvation and know the joys of salvation. Oh, I tell you, yes, there's that voice that cries, oh, that voice of the Savior asking us to come to him, bidding us to turn at his reproof, that promise that he pour out his Spirit unto us and make known his word unto us. Oh, praise the Lord, that voice that cries out. Will you heed that voice tonight? You listen to that voice. He cries to us, oh yes, to get us to that higher ground, to get us to that place where he is, those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He cries tonight. He's seeking the lost sheep that still need to come to him. Oh, praise the Lord, we have opportunity. We can come to him before it is too late, before it is over. He has given us space to repent. Praise the Lord and turn to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for that gift that you so graciously shed, oh Lord, and gave for us, Lord, the blood that poured out of your very being, Lord, that we might have hope and we might be partakers of thy salvation, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you call tonight, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, you'd help, oh Lord, those hearts that yet know thee not, come unto thee, Lord Jesus, and drink of the water of life freely, Lord, that you've given, Lord, for us to partake of, Lord. That you'd pour out of your Spirit, O Lord. O God, that we might know you, Lord. We might live in thy presence, O God. O God, and we might know, O Lord, the joys that lay, O God, for those that obtain an eternal life. Thank you in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. The cry of wisdom. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Turn me at my reproof. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I pray that, oh, we would pour out of our hearts tonight, that we, oh, get to that place, oh, where his presence comes down, fills our being. Oh, yes, Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing here tonight, we're going to go to number 241 in the hymnal, Whosoever Will. Number 241. Whosoever heareth Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.